This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Members of the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh are reacting to today's jury recommendation for the shooter to get the death penalty. Lee Stein lost her dad, Daniel, in the 2018 attack.
Justice has been served. And even though nothing will bring my dad back, I feel like a weight has been lifted and I can breathe a sigh of relief.
U.S. Attorney Eric Olchan.
While today's verdict may mean many things to people, it cannot change what happened on October 27, 2018. It cannot bring back any of the 11 victims. No verdict can set things right or restore what was lost that morning.
The shooter will be formally sentenced tomorrow. Former President Trump is slamming his federal indictment, calling it a Biden administration tactic to influence the 2024 election. Most key witnesses in this case are Republican, and Trump is set to face his federal arraignment virtually or in person tomorrow. And Trump's attorney, John Lauro, says none of this will affect his 2024 campaign.
In a case where there's a political prosecution, there's no doubt that he's going to continue to run. None of these charges preclude him from being president of the United States, not one.
Former vice president and his GOP rival Mike Pence has said anyone who puts themselves before the Constitution should never be president. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she strongly disagrees with today's Fitch rating, which essentially downgrades the U.S.'s credit rating.
Over the past few years, the American economy has seen an historic recovery from the depths of the pandemic downturn.
She says there are more jobs now, unemployment's lower, and inflation is easing. After nearly 100 days on strike, writers are headed back to the bargaining table in Hollywood. KNX radio reporter John Baird is there.
The hope is a meeting will lead to new bargaining sessions and ultimately a new contract. But Sal Calleros, who's a member of the WGA, thinks the efforts by the writers going out on the picket lines and then having the actors join them, he believes those things together have really made a difference.
I mean, they've been there supporting us from the beginning. I think that those efforts have been fruitful, or at least they're starting to bear fruit.
Talks are expected to resume Friday. Also in Los Angeles, striking hotel workers are urging Taylor Swift to put off her shows there as they fight for better pay. She's set to perform 6 sold-out shows at SoFi Stadium starting tomorrow to wrap up the U.S. leg of her Eras Tour. It's providing a huge boost to tourism in every other city so far. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Grainger.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Eau Claire Students Transit is facing a shortage of bus drivers for the upcoming school year. The director of safety says they need 13 more drivers, which is more than they've been short on in past years. With fewer drivers, routes will be changed and can possibly cause longer wait times and fuller buses for students. The Wisconsin DOT waived certain parts of its testing for bus drivers last year in an effort to increase the number of school bus drivers statewide. However, bus companies and school districts said it hasn't made much of a difference as the shortages continue. Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan asked for the release of security footage at the U.S. Capitol from last week when fellow Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden yelled at Senate pages. Congressional leaders condemned Van Orden's act last week. The footage is being reviewed by U.S. Capitol Security, according to a release from Representative Brian Stile. Van Orden said he won't publicly apologize. And the National Weather Service says it'll be hot and humid for the next couple of days, but rain chances return this weekend. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation. that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Kroot.
I'm awesome, Crudy. Happy Jack Smith, a day late to you. Good to see you, Anya, working the board. Thank you for that, our fair audience. What a glorious day here in Wisconsin.
Mike, Dom, good to be with you. It is a time for thoughtfulness, and not to in any way diminish your celebration, but I always indicate that criminal prosecutions are tragedies, right? And this indictment is tragic from start to finish. We are here today, justice being done, rule of law being promoted, but tragedy. And it is an absolute tragedy for America that we have to go down this road.
It's tragedy and comedy. Jim, are you kidding me? This is exactly what we need to do. Yes, it's tragic that people in this world would act like that. But the good news is we have a system of checks and balances and justice and courts and grand juries. And hell, even Trump supporters are probably going to have to decide his fate at some point.
Absolutely. Neither one of you is there. I've checked and rechecked and checked again, and you'll be pleased to know that none of you is on that list. We do have, however, the normal cast of characters. We've talked about all of them. Almost certainly we know at least four, if not five of them. A couple of those at the end we don't know. Rudy Giuliani up front, a major player in this, again, a major co-conspirator. John Eastman, who is the author of this major memorandum, the so-called Wisconsin memorandum and other mechanisms for putting this all into place. Sidney Powell, one of the most articulate, I use that advisedly, advocates for the president in this notion that the 2020 election was stolen. Jeffrey Clark, a great embarrassment, frankly, to me and others, a former leader of the Department of Justice, almost appointed by the former president as the attorney general in a very famous meeting in January. And then we've got a couple of lawyers, could be five and six might be Kenneth Chesebro, who we also heard about, one of the architects of this, and then a sort of a political operative at the end there, and not real clear on who that might be.
Ooh, we will plenty find out. I got a guess on that one, Jim. The New York Times are piecing it together, and they are implicating Boris Epstein as the advisor to the Trump campaign, apparently matching the description of an email attributed to one of the six named co-conspirators.
Again, a name we have heard plainly before, all of them significantly unindicted co-conspirators. We know who all they are. That does not mean, however, that they are outside of the ambit of exposure here. And as we know, we've got one defendant in this case for a variety of strategic reasons, I suspect. All of these others, known and unknown, should also be trembling tonight because they're plainly on the list to be indicted in the future.
Jim, the defense of Trump, you know, the reaction from the mega Republicans, if I consolidate it down to one issue, it's, well, you know, it's free speech. Jim, it's just simply free speech. I think this goes beyond just speech, a free speech. Certainly politicians can lie. That is not against the law. But what's your take on the at least the initial reaction of some of the mega Republicans?
Right. And frankly, one of the principal lawyers for the president was just out there talking about exactly that, obviously going to maintain that this is all about free speech and inappropriate prosecution. The problem with that approach, of course, is that there is no right in the Constitution, generally in America, that's unconditional, including the right to free speech. What is set forth here in this grand jury indictment, again, as you have noted, an indictment returned by a grand jury, people looked at this and said, yes, probable cause, are these four different counts, including conspiracy to violate the Americans' right to vote. Again, this major allegation that goes far beyond just an advocacy about what you think should happen. When you are going down that road and you're putting together mechanisms to violate people's their right to the franchise, conspiracy to defraud the government, obstructing official proceedings, conspiracy, all of those kinds of things, those are crimes. There's nothing about the First Amendment that shields you from those kinds of activities. And that also speaks loudly from every single page in the indictment.
Jim, I was listening to our colleagues on Righty Whitey Talk Radio down the dial earlier today, and they were defending this president, at least one of them was, Dan O'Donnell. And his defense, the First Amendment, he said, well, you know, he has the right to say these things. And of course, it cannot be fraud. And this was recently verified by the U.S. Supreme Court, cannot be fraud unless there's financial gain. And I nearly shouted through my radio, the guys raised $250 million on this big lie. Jim, do you think it's logical to connect the big lie, the underlying allegations, these conspiracies, with the financial gain that was the money raised from the MAGA sheeple?
A couple of observations. We know plainly that was certainly one of the effects, either intended or unintended, of all of these lies, all the deceptions set forth in this extensive talking indictment. Money is coming in. It's coming in before January 6th, certainly after January 6th. So there's a strong financial connection. Where I part company with those folks to whom you were listening this afternoon is somehow the notion that that is a key to this case. It may well be that Jack Smith along the way to explain this to a jury, juries always want to know about the stories. Why do people do things? Well, the big reason is I wanted to stay in power. That's what this indictment speaks to. I want to remain in power and don't want to leave. That's what this is principally about. If in fact the financial aspect is a part of the presentation, that further underscores the notion that you've engaged in criminal conduct. And again, you get back to the fundamental pieces in this indictment described in great particularity about what he did, what he said, all the things we've been talking about for the past 3 years or so, 2.5 years, are now set forth in this indictment. Attempts to try to parse through it and dismiss it based upon a free speech, First Amendment, some financial aspect. Those folks have not read this indictment.
Counselor, before we talk more about the newest indictments against the former president, What about this legal defense formula or paying for the legal defense through a super PAC, which effectively shields the donors of the money? But we're starting to add up to some big numbers here, Jim. We've got over $50 million in legal defense, and everyone here is Trump's name. But more importantly, it's other people's legal defenses that are being paid effectively secretly by political donors. Jim, this certainly seemingly clouds the political process.
Clouds is probably the understatement here. There's some real problems with this. And they also came up in connection with our recent discussions about the new Mar-a-Lago indictment, too, where you're adding additional defendants here. Donald Trump plainly saying to some of his co-defendants, don't worry, I'll pay for your expenses. I will ensure that you've got good lawyers here. They'll be coming from my pocketbook. That is problematic. Now, in and of itself, that may not be a problem, just the pure payment. However, the focus is always upon the aggressive and effective representation being provided. If I'm a lawyer and I'm providing legal counsel to anybody in the defense posture here, and I have got any reason not to be completely committed to my client, whether it's my bill is being paid by somebody affiliated with another defendant, by a PAC, there's some other aspect out there that makes this inappropriate and somehow jades my effective representation of you, that is not only highly problematic, that is in violation of most ethics codes out there. You've got a duty to effective and vigorous defense and representation of your client. If there's something about your payment, if something about other connections out there that compromises that, then frankly, that's the kind of thing that Jack Smith can also be going into court to address, to ensure candidly that everybody in this process, he's got an obligation to the larger rule of law. He wants to make sure that everybody is properly represented and not in the pockets of the principal defendant. We will probably see more of that down the road, this PAC issue, other things related to monies coming through Donald Trump directly or indirectly to pay the attorneys for co-defendants in the very case in which he is also a defendant. His interests and theirs are not necessarily and almost certainly not in the same category. That's the key also.
Jim, you are absolutely correct. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, The Hill is reporting right now, DOJ raises conflict of interest issues with Walton Alta's attorney in the Mar-a-Lago case. Apparently, Stanley Woodward represented at least seven other individuals who have been questioned in connection with the investigation, including those who have testified about Nauta, the DOJ disclosed today. They're requesting a so-called Garcia hearing with Woodward's clients to inform them of potential risks and inquire into possible waivers, noting that the court could provide additional independent counsel to Nauta to assess whether he's being fairly represented. Quote from the DOJ, Nauta should be thoroughly advised of the potential conflicts and attendant risks. Witness one and witness two should also be present at the hearing and apprised of the risks that Mr. Woodward may use or disclose confidences he obtained from them. The DOJ writes.
Right. And down to all of that, there is a process out there. You've identified the name of the case that contemplates this. It's often collateral litigation out there, but judges can in fact inquire about this. Why? You want to make certain that nobody down the road is saying, hey, I wasn't properly represented. There's a legitimate interest in the rule of law as it goes forward.
Jack Smith, even if it's belated, it's Jack Smith week, Jack Smith month. We got the finest of guests with us. He is James Santel. No morning cannolis this Saturday, but a replay, I suspect. But you got him live. He's bringing the cannolis for Jim Santel. More of the Devil's Advocate. Perhaps you on the phone. 844-962-7789. The former president is under indictment. He's got many co-conspirators. Maybe we'll speculate, counselor. Come back with it. Speculation encouraged around here, at least on Jack Smith Day.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mix of sun and clouds, maybe a stray storm, and a high near 90. Partly cloudy in mid-60s tonight, mostly sunny in upper 80s tomorrow. We'll look for a mixture of sunshine and clouds on Friday, couple of storms popping up by the evening, high in the low 80s. Currently, it's 87.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Joining us, Jim, appreciate you coming around, man. Wisconsin featured prominently in this indictment. Donald Trump indicted what, 4 counts? Conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights, that's the voting rights violations. Kenneth Cheesebro, Wisconsin, Jim, seems to be the testing ground here for Republicans here in the last couple of decades. Cheesebro presented this case in Wisconsin first, and then it spread out from there. Jim, we still haven't seen any action from our local, our Wisconsin attorney general call on the fraudulent electors. Do you think this moves that needle at all?
You know, it certainly underscores once again that we happen to be among these handful of states out there where this major scheme, again, authored by John Eastman, implemented by all the others here, including the former president, that we were maybe not ground zero, but we're certainly among those ground zeros out there. The indictment does have several pages. One of the headings is Wisconsin, along, so it is there, it is for the reading. And it does focus, again, in particular, on
lots of them.
It is on. There you go. Right, exactly. And that's almost exactly what the grand jury, through the authorship of Jack Smith in this indictment, says. For what it's worth, Mike, it's on page 20. And the heading in italics is Wisconsin. It's paragraphs 47 beyond that, and describes, again, a lot of the activities here, and the including the governor's signing the final certificates of determination, even while the defendant here, Donald Trump, is tweeting his false claim election fraud. And so we've got all of that here. The indictment plainly does make reference in Wisconsin and to these other states to this so-called false or fake elector scheme. Importantly, it does not identify them with particularity. We know pretty much who they are in the state of Wisconsin, who those people are in the other states as well. As I read this again, focusing principally upon the defendant, Donald Trump, for reasons we can chat about strategically. If I were among those false electors, and even though there is some reference here that some of them may have been tricked, been misled into doing some of this, I would also be very concerned that this prosecution, this investigation will also focus on them eventually. We know a long time ago that the Deputy Attorney General, Lisa Monaco, said the false elector scheme generally is within the scope of this investigation. And as we think about the next indictments to come, and I promise you, this is not the last one, not only for those unindicted co-conspirators, but for other people as well. All of this is there, and the fake electors, Wisconsin, other places, may well be in the crosshairs, if you will, of a federal indictment. To date, unlike other places like Michigan, we have not seen state prosecutions of those individuals here in our state.
Jim, I want to get your opinion on the efficiency in the quality of this document from Special Counsel Jack Smith. 45 pages, four counts, as mentioned, not going into all these other places, at least not yet, not in this particular one. What's your professional opinion of this legal brief?
I think it's very well done. Again, we talked about this, the three of us and others on this fine broadcast and other things, other broadcasts of civic media. It is very tempting. I'm sure it was. There were probably drafts of this that went hundreds of pages long, that went down every single tendril, that probably identified 45 different defendants. And at some point, someone said, wait a minute, what are we doing here? And so a very strategic decision made, so that for two reasons. One is strategic. It's purely about timing and about getting this eventually to trial. Footnote that. We'll come back to that.
Yes,
right?
Please.
But second, also, this is a document that's out there in the public domain. We're talking about it now on this afternoon of Jack Smith Day, the day after he announces this grand jury action. The public can also read this. And you don't want to do something that's so overwhelming that the public can't understand it. Ultimately, Jack Smith and his people are playing to what? A petit or trial jury. And you want to be able to stand up in front of the jury and with a chalkboard, if you will, and say, there are four things this defendant did. He's one defendant, did four things. Here they are. Here's his execution of those things. Here's how he did it. Here's the conspiracy. And not to suggest the grand jury, the petit jury can't understand something more broad, but you want to make it simple so it's also very, very compelling. And so as you read through this, and it is a fairly decent read, you get that strong sense. He put this together for the audiences that are out there. First, the jury. Second, the American public as well. I think it's a very well done.
And Jim, also, an Obama-appointed judge in D.C. pulling this case. What's your sense on that? And do you have time to stick around for another segment, too?
Absolutely.
All right. All right. What about the Obama-appointed judge?
So her name is Tanya Chutkan. We have heard about her. We have talked about her on this very program before. She was the one who a couple of years ago rejected Donald Trump's efforts. You may recall this, to prevent his White House records from being given over to that House investigating committee. He opposed that. And she said, nope, they've got a right to them. And very significantly, we chatted about this. This is coming from the pen of Judge Tanya Chutkan. On the bench for 10 years, she said, presidents are not kings and plaintiff is not president. That was from a Judge Chutkan. Again, she's 61 years old. She's been around. Unlike Eileen Cannon, she knows her stuff and she's been a career prosecutor even before she was a judge. A random draw. And that's where this case is landing.
Jim, it does seem to me like, are these novel legal charges or are these just legal charges we haven't seen in our lifetime? Because no president's ever, let's just say, tried this sort of malarkey before.
I would go with the second. We've seen them in other cases, including after the Civil War, with respect to one of them, at least. But they're not unknown. They're not novel charges. But the unprecedented, nearly unprecedented nature of this is what we're reacting to today. Never before a former president. Again, conduct while he was president. This is not Mar-a-Lago. This is while he was president, corrupting our system, going after the rule of law, trying to compromise everything we know about the rule of law in America, including our election.
Folks, stick Come around. Back. James Santel joining us. You too. We'll be right back.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. A federal jury has recommended the death penalty for the gunman who stormed a synagogue in Pittsburgh's Jewish community and killed 11 people in 2018. Christopher Giordano's with the FBI.
And I want to make one thing perfectly clear. Hate has no place in our community. We will stop at nothing to keep our community safe.
Another federal indictment's not stopping former President Trump from running again in 2024. His attorney, John Lauro.
In a case where there's a political prosecution, there's no doubt that he's going to continue to run. None of these charges preclude him from being president of the United States, not one.
Writers could be closer to ending their strike in Hollywood. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The Writers Guild has confirmed it will sit down with the motion picture studios to try to put an end to the writers' strike that's been going on since May.
They want better pay, residuals, and restrictions on artificial intelligence. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Eau Claire Students Transit is facing a shortage of bus drivers for the upcoming school year. The director of safety says they need 13 more drivers, which is more than they've been short on in past years. With fewer drivers, routes will be changed and can possibly cause longer wait times and fuller buses for students. The Wisconsin DOT waived certain parts of its testing for bus drivers last year in an effort to increase the number of school bus drivers statewide. However, bus companies and school districts said it hasn't made much of a difference as the shortages continue. Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan asked for the release of security footage at the U.S. Capitol from last week when fellow Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden yelled at Senate pages. Congressional leaders condemned Van Orden's act last week. The footage is being reviewed by U.S. Capitol Security, according to a release from Representative Brian Stile. Van Orden said he won't publicly apologize. And the National Weather Service says it'll be hot and humid for the next couple of days, but rain chances return this weekend. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Bobby, did we get that ship in a mesquite?
Jim's woodworking shop worked fine. Good fit on those Japanese corners. Until half his staff retired.
Wow, those cuts are neat. I'm really going to miss your precision.
He needs four skilled woodworker bees ASAP.
All right, this jigsaw needs a new blade.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break, so we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Malarkey. The devil's advocates invented malarkey.
Yes and yes, Mike. The answer is we're getting more. There is no doubt in my mind. I will treat everybody in civic media to dinner in New York City. If I'm wrong about this, there's the challenge, right? There's more coming. And not only will these six be indicted, but highly likely that others out there as well. We need to describe here, that is Jack Smith needs to describe here, what the nature of this conspiracy is and at the highest levels. And who are the movers and shakers? There are all kinds of conspiracies. They're described in various ways in which they come together. He wanted once again to articulate in a way that is understandable the core of this. Absolutely, other people going to be charged down the road could be highly likely. It could be a superseding indictment, much more likely, separate indictments, say a second tranche with the six, could be a third tranche of indicted individuals. Again, all of them at the supervisory, as people say, the suit coats and not the boots on the ground. That could very easily happen as well. The reason he's doing this once again is, I would offer strategically, it's all about time. It's all about time. It's been 2.5 years since January 6th happened, and we've got 15 months until the next election. We should chat today again, and we'll hear more of this in the days just ahead, about when this trial will actually be conducted in a federal district court in the Washington, D.C. area. That is very significant. And
so let's
get TikTok counselor, TikTok. I mean,
you know, Jack Smith did speak briefly yesterday and noted they're going for a speedy trial. They want a speedy trial. I saw some headlines today. Some of Trump's attorneys are mocking that. But let's get to it, man. What do you think, Jim? How speedy will Jack Smith's trial be?
He's right to say that. He's right to push for it. If the Mar-a-Lago situation is any indication, speedy doesn't mean probably in the vernacular words what you and I would think about it when we think about speedy. We know now that the Mar-a-Lago trial, again, scheduled for when, May 20th, I'll make another prediction, not dinner, but lunch, that trial will also shift into late into 2024. Here's another data point on this. Again, speedy trial, 70 days since the time of your initial appearance. That is not going to happen here at all. And so we're going to hear eventually from Judge Chutkan about the trial date in the Washington, D.C., in the federal district court right there for your normal water, run-of-the-mill, white-collar kinds of cases, which sort of is. It's been typically anywhere between 18 and 20 months from the time of an indictment until you open the jury on something like this. So that puts us well into, obviously into 2025, early 2025. And that, of course, is after the inauguration of the next president. Could be the present president, but it's going to be certainly during that term. Unlikely. Jack Smith is going to continue to push for this, to get this done, the trial itself. Unlikely, I believe, that this trial will happen in the next calendar year. I'll go out on a limb and say 2025 sometime. And of course, the big footnote to this is that's not to say that everything is resolved. As we know well, once a jury returns a verdict, you've got a sentencing that happens months down the road. You've got post-trial motions. You've got appeals. Those themselves take years. It is not unlikely that the disposition, the ultimate disposition, when Mike Crude is truly smiling, if in fact Donald Trump is in a federal prison, that may well be at the end, sometime at the end of the next term of the upcoming administration, sometime in 2028, 2029. These things take a long time. We're not going to get a trial, I don't think, in 2024. Optimistically, maybe in 2025. There's also a calendar to be concerned about. She's also a federal district court judge. Lots of things on her calendar. You need to put aside a lot of time, as Eileen Cannon does in South Florida. Got to put together weeks, if not months. You don't carve that out easily when you've got a heavy docket. A chief judge can move things around a bit, but all of those things are factoring in. You've got motions to dismiss, motions to suppress. All kinds of things are going to happen between now and the time that you call the case and impanel a jury in that federal district court.
Show no counselor. Dom's wife tells me his nickname is Speedy. But sir, that timeline that you're describing is nothing. It's not Speedy. That's not Speedy, Jim. Veruca Salt wants it now, Daddy.
Right. Exactly. And that, again, the judge does have discretion. She's got to make findings. This is not to simply say, well, it's going to take a long time. I'm going to throw a dart against a calendar. She's got to make findings under the Speedy Trial Act that if we don't do this in 30 days, which we won't, you can make a finding it's complex. All kinds of things are excluded. Pendency of motions to dismiss. You file the motion. You get a response. You get a reply. You get hearings on those motions. There may well be interlocutory appeals if there are things done, like in the Mar-a-Lago case. If Judge Eileen Cannon dismisses something, suppresses a major piece of evidence there, you can take that up again with appropriate certifications and jumping through the right hoops. You go to the Court of Appeals. That would take months. You could have the same kind of thing happening here. My point is not in any way to be somehow discouraging those thoughts about this moving forward. It should and it can, but the notion that it's going to happen soon and using the speedy word speedy in our kind of vernacular, that's highly unlikely given what the history has been here.
Jim,
I got another question.
Oh, go ahead, Curtie. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you about the definition of imminent. I keep hearing that Fannie Willis is imminent down in Fulton County, down in Atlanta. Jim, that's the other one that I've been watching with bated breath, because that is also about the former president trying to overturn the outcome of the election, trying to influence outcomes. We don't know what sort of charges may be leveled, but they wouldn't be pardonable in the same fashion as these federal charges, even if convictions are granted or reached by a jury eventually on former President Trump. The Georgia stuff, you can't pardon away so readily, can you, sir?
That's exactly right. The Constitution applies to federal proceedings and a federal president, obviously. Any president, most people believe you can't pardon yourself, but even if that's a theory out there that makes some sense in somebody's brain, not mine, you can't pardon yourself out from under a state prosecution. And so I would offer the view that Fannie Willis, our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. And looks to you probably in the next couple of weeks, if you invite me back on when that indictment drops, we'll take a look at that one as well. And there you don't have the great political concerns that you do that I just described. I mean, the implication of the next presidency is if it is anyone other than a Democratic president, I'm not being political here, I'm simply describing the realities of this. If on January 20th of 2025, we're not inaugurating Joe Biden or another Democrat, but instead a Republican, could be Donald Trump, could be another Republican, highly unlikely that all of this becomes academic. That is the federal side of things, as a federal president could either pardon himself or pardon other people if that goes forward. Fannie Willis is not under that regime, doesn't have to do that at all, would not do that. And that is why the focus there, again, state charges there in Georgia, focusing on many of these same kinds of things. She's describing a broad investigation. She has said just yesterday, the day before, we're ready to go. And so this is going to be imminent. I believe now the imminent word is appropriately used. We're going to be talking about that one. It's going to be yet a fourth indictment of this president in the state system. Second state indictment. But fourth indictment overall, watch that one, not only for the present, but also for history. It's plainly is going to be the parallel, the bookend to this one. And the state system could also in some ways be a roadmap for other states, Michigan, other states out there to look and say, gosh, did these same things happen here? We know that a lot of these same co-conspirators unindicted visited Georgia to try to influence the legislature there, do other things. My guess is we're going to see a lot of the same language in an indictment coming out of Fannie Willis's indicting grand jury, as we're seeing coming out of, I don't want to call it Jack Smith's grand jury. It's not his, it belongs to the court. The same kind of language is coming out of the Fannie Willis indictment there, as we're seeing today coming out of Jack Smith's office and the grand jury in Washington.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis here on Civic Media, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Jim, the timing, Fannie Willis gave us her timing several months ago. We're talking about the imminency here. And Jack Smith drops this, grand jury meets on Tuesday, and yesterday was Tuesday, at the beginning of the 3-week window that Fulton County DA Willis has provided everybody. Do you think that was purposeful?
I do. I think that She plainly, from the time that the investigative grand jury had returned, remember this document, they identified people who should be indicted already. She needed to take a look at that, needed to follow up, probably do more investigation herself, needed to get that ready, needed to prepare a proposed indictment for her grand jury there as well. So the timing there hasn't been extraordinary, but you could plainly plan that out and say, okay, it's probably late into late July and again, early August, the time we're in right now, when we'll be prepared to present this, and the indicting grand jury will have done its work. So she knows what's going on there. Be highly surprised again if we don't get some word in the next couple of weeks. Could drift a little bit, but she knows what she's doing. And again, premised upon several years of investigation there in Georgia, not only the 11,780 vote conversation with the Secretary of State, but all these other things, attempts to undermine the process, to go after, attack poll workers, to influence Rudy Giuliani, others, the Sidney Powells of the world, the John Eastmans of the world. This is one of those places where that memorandum was put into life and put into active movement. And that's going to be the focus of her indictment coming very soon. Again, paralleling what's going on in Washington right now that we're talking about today.
Jim, if you were Jim Troupas, the Trump lawyer, obviously represented Ron Johnson and others, but obviously connected to this whole false elector scheme, would you be looking to, let's say, lawyer up, get yourself a good frickin' criminal defense attorney?
The answer is yes, with a Y, a capital E, and a capital S with an exclamation mark after it. Frankly, all of the false electors, again, we know that in Georgia, Fannie Willis has given immunity to some of them, but they probably have attorneys there as well. And all kinds of things can happen depending upon choices that false electors make to cooperate. And it depends also upon the extent to which there really is a provable case against them. Here in Wisconsin, I think there is, especially since those certificates that they signed do not have the conditional language out there. All of these people should be reading this indictment today with its description of the false elector scheme as being a part of this conspiracy and not sleeping well tonight or any time in the near future. Lawyers, lots of them going to be called upon in Wisconsin, other places around the country, including right here in Wisconsin.
Best of lawyers right here on our team, including James Santel, host of the Morning Cannolis. No live show this week, but Jim, certainly appreciate you joining us here on the Devil's Advocates. Be well, counselor. We'll talk soon.
An important day in Wisconsin and in United States history. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you.
We'll
Jim,
have you back
it.
On Fannie Willis Day. Yeah. More Devils. We'll be back.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm onto something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Bobby, did we get that chip in a mesquite?
Jim's woodworking shop worked fine.
Good fit on those Japanese corners.
Until half his staff retired.
Wow, those cuts are neat. I'm really going to miss your precision.
He needs four skilled woodworker bees ASAP.
All right, this jigsaw needs a new blade.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mix of sun and clouds, maybe a stray storm, and a high near 90. Partly cloudy in mid-60s tonight, mostly sunny in upper 80s tomorrow. We'll look for a mixture of sunshine and clouds on Friday, a couple of storms popping up by the evening, high in the low 80s. Currently, it's 87.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Celebrating some Jack Smith Day today. Oh, glory, glory days, Curdy. You know, a lot of issues, a lot of timing issues. Thank you, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, for coming around and giving his opinion on these issues. But, you know, another, two indictments from Jack Smith, of course. He's got Tish James, this one. Tish James, we didn't talk about this, a civil case in New York. The New York attorney general said this week that case is ready to go to trial. That comes in October. So Trump's going to be juggling all sorts of appearances and different cases and trials in different states. I don't know how this guy's going to have
time. The man lives on chaos. That's exactly where he wants to be. He wants to be in the eye of the storm, Dom. I think he's going to thrive on this chaos.
Obviously, well, he's certainly trying to fundraise on it.
Well, that's all the man does anyways, right? As I mentioned before, I started my day listening to Righty Whitey Talk Radio, and Dan O'Donnell tried to defend this. This was First Amendment free speech. You have the right to lie, he claims, because of the First Amendment. And I'm thinking, well, that protects you each and every day on the radio, Dan. But he says effectively this cannot be a fraud, this greater fraud that the former president was charged with by the special counsel. Can't be a fraud because it's only fraud if there's a financial upside. And of course, the former president has been grifting the whole time, Tom. Raised $250 million. If that's not financial incentive, I don't know what is. So I see the direct straight line. I mean, Dan O'Donnell, completely clumsy. And obviously, he's not a dumb guy. But to completely ignore the $250 million that Donald Trump has raised as perhaps evidence of financial incentive to defraud his followers, Dom, I think even you and I can identify this, and we're not lawyers.
I'm not sure fraud needs to have that particular part of it, but whatever. Either way, as you point out, if that is a requirement, then yes, certainly that would still be fraud. I have no doubt about that. But the defenses are still there. I mean, the Republicans, and with exception, I did see some Mike Pence today. Mike Pence is apparently slowly getting a little bit stronger on the Donald Trump stuff, but still not to the degree. He hasn't, you know, the defense is this free speech issue, and this is where they're going to hang their hat. But I'm very surprised that, I guess I'm not, how it shifts. Oh, you know, the election was stolen. Oh, the election wasn't stolen, but Donald Trump thought it was. Oh, okay, he lied about it. He knew he lied about it, but that's not fraud because, you know, free speech. So how far we have come, right-wingers and MAGA, now your defense is, well, yeah, Trump lied, but it's not fraud. It's not a crime because of free speech. So you're admitting that the guy you voted for and the guy you apparently are going to vote for again lied to you, and you're going to continue
absolutely.
You know what I'm talking lied. About? Where's the credibility? You know, and that's the other thing. Come on. And the accountability and the judgment. I mean, these are not stupid people. Let's get that out there. And I know we call names sometimes and get in people's asses about how they act. But these folks are intelligent.
Well, you do.
They're book smart. You know what I'm saying? They know what's going on. I mean, Clark worked at DOJ. Most of them are attorneys. Locally, Andrew Hitt's an attorney. You know, the former head of the Wisconsin Republican Party. These folks signed on. They know what they were doing. They're not dumb people. I mean, Eastman's writing memos. Who do you know writes a memo? I don't know anybody writing memos. These guys are writing memos. And the point is, they didn't do this out of ignorance. They didn't do this because they believed it, as the indictment seemingly is going to prove. They did it because they wanted to hang on to power. They did it because they wanted to disenfranchise your vote. They did it because they wanted to overturn democracy. That's not something that dumb people or smart people, that's just what they do. That's a craven, power-hungry people. That's what they do. So don't dismiss this as, oh, they didn't know. Of course they knew. Of course they knew. Everybody knew. Trump knew. His White House attorneys told him. Everybody around him told him. DOJ told him. Everybody knew. So you are either, if you take that position, part of the conspiracy and no longer and have no right to be around the halls of power, or you are actually that ignorant and you also have terrible judgment and you should not be in power. Either way, the megas, the fraudulent electors, all these attorneys, they should not be anywhere near this. So I have to reiterate that. These are smart people. They knew what they were doing, and they were doing it to defraud this country. They're doing it to overturn our democracy and take away your vote. They don't want your vote to count. They don't want you to decide in a democracy who the president should be.
You know, I wrote a memo one time.
Yeah,
not exactly a torture memo or even a let's steal the election sort of memo, Dom. One in my lifetime.
What was the memo?
It was, if you use the bathrooms near the studios, leave the fan on. let's just use an abundance of caution and just leave the fans on in there, okay, everyone?
It's always good to remind yourself of those things. 844-967-2789, Tom from
LA. Only memo I've ever sent in my professional career. Leave the fans on.
Hey, Tom, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, the way you spell Republican is V-I-C-T-I-M. They're a bunch of victims. I just can't get over the fact of how they have, at one time, was supposed to be the party of personal responsibility to now just being the biggest crybaby victims I have ever seen in my life. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves, that people are victims.
Tom, isn't it crazy how these Republicans can twist their logic when the cult leader is under criminal indictment, suddenly the FBI are the bad guys? You've been watching Dragnet and stuff since the 1950s. When did the FBI become the bad guys? As soon as they came after our criminal guy.
Yep, that's how it goes. And but I'll tell you what, any of you Republicans out there, if you want, join the Democratic Party. We're not a bunch of victims. You know what? When we actually do something, we actually say it. You've been victims ever since George War Criminal Bush lied us into two wars and so on. You know what? Take your party back. Stop being victims and start standing up for something and you know, be definitely people of your word. Thank you.
They're not going to do any of those things, Tom. Really, Donald Trump is going to win the Republican nomination under at least three different sets of indictments, two federally, one in New York. I suspect Bonnie Willis will drop her indictments as well. Dom, it only makes him more appealing to the Republican base. Come back with us. The Happier Happy Hour, the Hump Day Edition. Crudy on the road. I think I'm on the air. You can join me here and Dom and Anya at 844-967-2789. Coming back, your phone calls.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess. Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.